Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you. Lord, we praise you. Lord, we exalt you. Lord, we magnify you, God. Lord, I'm asking, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Romans chapter 13. And let me get there right now. I've entitled this evening's message, You Shall Love Your Neighbor. You shall love your neighbor. In the times that we live in, as you can see, there's a lot of hatred. There's a lot of discontent. There's a lot of malice. There's a lot of things that we deal with on a day-to-day basis in 2025. And the proof was last night during the presidential union address. Man, I'm telling you, I saw so much hatred in that room. I seen so much disgust and things that were appalling. And guess what? They're everywhere. That spirit is everywhere. And so we're going to take you back to Romans because Paul, why did Paul write this down? What was it for? What is it parallel today? How do we apply that to our life today? Well, first of all, the reason why he wrote this down is because many believing Jews came into the fold. And a lot of them came out of legalism, meaning a lot of them came out of Judaism. And Judaism was a strict type of religious organization. Matter of fact, the Jews back in that day, I'm talking the Old Testament, they looked at us Gentiles as dogs. So they excluded us out of the picture of God. But God said, not so. Hallelujah. It was because of the hardness of their heart, as we've been reading throughout the book of Romans, God had to set them aside and bring salvation to us Gentiles. Amen? So in this chapter, he's reminding the saints, and especially the ones that came into the saving knowledge, whether they were Jew or Gentile, is that they were to change their attitude toward one another. Meaning, they had to learn something that maybe their parents didn't raise them up in. The Bible says, train up a child the way he should go. When he gets old, he will not what? Depart from it. Well, if you train up a child and all they see is mom and dad bickering, arguing, cursing, and doing like that, guess what? The child will grow up no differently. But if you raise that child up, loving God, blessing God, watching you forgive one another, can I get amen? Amen. The child will then see that this is the thing to do. Especially when you bring your children into the household of faith. Amen? Amen. And so, just like this young couple that just walked in, they're raising their child Amen. In the fear and admonition of the Lord. Amen? Amen. So we're going to look at verses 8 through 13, and then we're going to expound every verse. Let's go to the Word. Here we go. Verse 8. Owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. Uh-oh. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. So they knew about that command, those commandments. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not covet. And if there's anything other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Wow. Let me ask you this, saints of God. Do you truly love your neighbor that's next door to you? When's the last time you knocked on your door, on their door, and maybe gave them some cookies? So I've been thinking about you. Been praying for you. You know, when you demonstrate love like that, it'll come back in return. Look at verse 10 right here. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. This what Jesus is, the epitome of love. He is all love. And there is no darkness in Him. And this, do this, know the time that now it's high time to awake out of sleep. This is why when we were praying today, we were praying in the Holy Ghost. One of the things that I was praying is, wake up the church. Wake up the church. A lot of the churches are asleep. They cannot see the times and the signs that are pointing to the return of Christ. But look at this. It is high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than we first believed. This was written 2,000 years ago. What do you think right now, today, 2025? It's even closer. The Lord draws near. He draws nigh unto us. Look at this. Verse 12. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off works of darkness and let us what? Put on the armor of light. We're going to look at this. The armor of light. You see, we are to cast off that darkness. And what we saw last night at the president address to the union, we saw a bunch of people that hated people. They hated our president. They sat on their hands with faces of disgust. They showed their true colors. Can I get an amen? Amen. They showed that they can really hate. And how did that demonstrate to the world? That showed us right then and there what Paul wrote 2,000 years ago. That we are to love our neighbor. You can have disagreements, but don't show hate. Can I get amen? Amen. Look at verse 13. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy. Verse 14, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. Let me just say this. The flesh wants to always have a Burger King life, having it my way. Hallelujah. Paul said, I crucify my flesh. When's the last time you ever tried to crucify that flesh that wants to rise up like the old man? You know the old man is still there. And he can rise up anytime. But you got to crucify that flesh so that old man stays dead. Can I get amen? Amen. Let's go to verse 8 now. Let's break it down. Verse 8. Oh, don't want anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. You see, saints, if we owe something, we should pay that debt. Can I get amen? But we must ask, is Paul against like today's modern society? Is he against mortgages and school loans? No. It's part of commerce. It's part of how we exist, especially in this country. He's not saying that. Paul is not teaching against borrowing, except as it applies to borrowing things or money that we cannot hope to repay. Let me just say this. I'm going to say this and just in a common way. If someone asks you for something and you got the ability to just give it to them, guess what? Give it away. Okay, you owe me now. You owe me now. And we do that to one another. You don't owe nothing. You give it away. Careless or deceitful debt is not acceptable behavior among believers. Can I get amen? Amen. Man, I'm telling you, I've seen some people chase you down because you owe them $5. You remember back in the day, huh? It was only $5. And they wanted to beat you to death with my $5. And so to this point, saints, Jesus adds the command that his followers ought to be known as willing lenders and givers. It's right up here. Look at this. Give to him who asks of you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. God said, don't turn away. If someone's in need, you should be able to bless them if you can. Can I get amen?
Amen.
And that's the way it is today. It's always been like that with humanism. Some people are like this, and they don't know how to do that. And just let it go. Let it go. And so we are to be responsible, saints, to make those payments if we have mortgages and car payments and all that. But we are supposed to be givers to those who are in truly need. Can I get amen? Or do we make a contract? Well, no, you owe me this by this day. One debt should never be paid in full. However, saints, we should never finish paying our debt of love for others. Did you know that's endless? We're to love one another till the end of time, until God calls us home. Oh, you know what? Some of you are saying, where does that say that in the Bible? You're supposed to love each other like that, unconditionally. Right up here. A new commandment, John 13:34. A new commandment I give to you, that you should what? Love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And by this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. That's right, huh? People will know who you are. When you show true love and you love them and you really care for them and you call them and you pray for them, you give your life away. You know that song, I Give Myself Away, so that you can use me? You know, we sing that song, but are we applying that concept, that principle in our life? We need to. We should be people that always want to say, God, pour me out so that you could pour back in me. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Oh, I already stirred up little brother Elliot. He's saying amen already. He's saying amen to it. Look at this in Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is what?
Love.
Joy. Peace. Long-suffering. Long-suffering. That's patience. Kindness. Goodness. Faithfulness. Gentleness. Self-control. Against such there is no law. Or are you the type that someone gives you a mad dog look? What up? What'd it be like? What you looking at, man? You know, back in the day, we used to roll like that, huh? A dirty look, man, would just, whoo! We just like start doing this. What's up? Look at Ephesians 5:1-2. Therefore, be imitators of God. So God, Jesus is our perfect example to be like him. Be imitators of God as dear children. And walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself what? For us. An offering, a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. Or do you walk around and you smell like fushy poo poo? Or do people, man, there's a fragrance. There's a sweet fragrance. No, the people should say this. There's a sweet fragrance about that person. When I get close, I can feel the presence of God. I remember at North Park, I used to sit right next to, I'm talking Bishop Raymond Trout, the father, the founder. As soon as you got close to him, man, you could feel the presence of God. It was just exude out of him. And you are in the presence of God, because that man was always in the presence of the Lord. He was always a sweet smelling aroma unto God. Look what 1 John says right up here. For this message that you heard from the beginning, that we should what? Love one another. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? First John goes on and says, because his works were evil and his brother's was righteous. Look at that. Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother, what? Abides in death. Wow. Woo. Those of you that still harbors some kind of bitterness toward someone, I shared it during communion on Sunday. Get it out. Get it out. Let it go. Make peace with God and make peace with that person. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Make peace with that person. You know, a lot of times that person has maybe been out of your life and you haven't seen that person. They don't even know what you're feeling. They don't even know that you still have bitterness toward them. God is saying, I'm dealing with you on that. Get it out. Look at verse 15. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. What? And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Man, God says, if we hate our brother, we will perish. There is no ifs, ands, or buts to this scripture here. God has laid it and made it plain. You hate someone, you're going to deal with God and no one else. Look what else it says in the next chapter of 1 John. Look at this. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of what? Of God. And anyone who loves is born of God and knows God. You see, only we can love God because we what? We know God, right? Can I get amen? If we know God, we're going to love. We're going to love like him. He who does not love does not know God. For God is what? Love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live what? Through him. In this is love. Say that with me. In this is love. Look at that. Not that we love God, but that God, look at this, that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation. You know what propitiation means? He was our substitute. Yes. He shed his blood, and that was what covered our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to what? Love one another. So we are hammering this home regarding love, because that's what the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans, to learn how to love one another. Now, let's go back to Romans chapter 13 and verse 9. Look at this. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not covet. And if there's any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So, who was he quoting? Because you remember, he was from the line of Benjamin. He was a rabbi of all rabbis. This man persecuted the church before God changed his name from Saul to Paul. So, where did he quote this right here that you're seeing? He quoted it from Exodus, the Ten Commandments. See, because the word was in him already. As a child, he was raised up in the word. But he was raised up in legalism. Until the Holy Ghost came to set him free from legalism. They thought that God was just for the Jews. And we all know he was wrong, right? Thank God for the Jews. Back when we was attending Temple Beth Shalom, I would tell Rabbi, I thank you, Rabbi. I thank all your ancestors. You know why? Because you guys denied the Lord Jesus Christ, and we came in.
What are you saying?
He goes, I read the New Testament. I read it many times. I said, so, are you a closet Christian? It's time to come out. And there's some rabbis that read the New Testament. And God is speaking to them. Can I get an amen? Amen. God is speaking to them.
Yes.
But this is where Paul got all this. Look at this. In Exodus 20:12, honor your father and your mother that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Those of you right now that are rebellious to your parents, that don't love your parents, that don't serve them and honor them, you're going to deal with God. And guess what? God will cut off your days here on this earth. You won't live long. If you want to live long, honor your mother and father. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Honor them. They brought life. They gave life to you.
Hallelujah.
They brought you into this world.
Thank you, Jesus.
They fed you. They clothed you.
Yes.
They changed your little diaper. Every day. Yes. Yes. I got to, yeah, that's right. They do. Look at this. Verse 16. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Some people can lie about you. Did you know that you can gossip about someone in the church somewhere, pull them aside, gossip about that person, and then that one person that you said that shares it with the rest of the congregation, and then when that person walks in, everyone looks like that. That's a tale bearer. They just go on. They just want to hear. They want to hear the dirt.
Busybodies.
They want to hear the dirt.
Backbiting.
That's right. Backbiting. God showed me, why do people do that? You know why they do that? Because they want themselves to be above that. I'm not like that. Man, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord.
Yes.
And let Him lift you up. Can I get amen?
Yeah.
I'd rather get accolades from God, not from man. Look at this. In Leviticus. Oh, first of all, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. You know, there's more. I'm serious. There's more or just as much divorce in the church than in the world. You know why? Because people trade in their old car for a new one. I'm done with this one. I want a new one. Lord, have mercy. One of the greatest demonstration of love was Brother Eddie Wattis. He was with us for a good 5 years. And his wife got cancer, brain cancer. And then she was isolated to a wheelchair. And every Sunday, he would bring her in that wheelchair, sat in the front. You remember, they sat in the front. He could have put her in a hospital. He could have put her in a home. He cared for her until she took her last breath. That showed me that, you know what? He died to self to serve his wife.
Amen.
Whoa. That right there showed me, you know what? If he can do that, why can't we? Because he demonstrated true love there. True love. I believe her name was Esther, wasn't it? And now she's with Jesus. But we baptized her. She got saved. And praise God. Isn't that a blessing?
Oh, yeah.
Huh? Isn't that a blessing?
Yes.
See, Paul lists them to show that they are all fit under a broader commandment. And look at this one right here. Look what Moses wrote in Leviticus. And this is where Paul got all his scriptures from, the Old Testament. You shall not take vengeance, nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord.
Wow.
See, we forget those, but those still apply today. Can I get amen? They still apply today. That's why Paul understood this. He had to convey this in the book of Romans. Why? Because he was dealing with Jew and Gentile as the new man now in Christ. And so they had to unlearn some things and relearn new things. Can I get amen?
Amen.
They had to die to themselves. They had to learn a new thing. Hallelujah. Let's move on to verse 10 of Romans chapter 13. Look at this. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Isn't that something? Christians must obey and learn to love the law, which supersedes both religious and civil laws. The law of God is to love. Can I get amen? Look what Matthew 22 says right up here. Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." What? Okay. So how many laws were there? Oh, this is a quiz. How many laws were there in the Old Testament? 613. Okay. So, how can you keep all of them? Bible says if you break one of them, you broke them all. So, if you ever want to know and forget how many laws were there in the Old Testament, just bust open a pomegranate and count every seed. There's 613 seeds. That's why the priests, on the bottom of their robes, they hung little threads that looked like a pomegranate, because it reminded them of the law. It was right there in the history there. And so, but look at this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Meaning, all those 613 hinge on this. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And you shall, look at this, second, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. When you have accomplished those two, guess what? Now you're fulfilling the law of God. Wow. Because God commands us to love. It is His desire that we would love like He does. Amen? So let's move on to verse 11. Here we go. Look at this. "And do this, knowing the time, that now is time, the high time, to awake out of what? For now our salvation is nearer than we first believed." Praise God. Praise God. It's closer. It's drawing closer. Paul wants believers to realize their constant need to show love, especially considering the time, because Jesus is about ready to return. How many believe He's ready to return? Yes, He is. He's about ready to return. The Lord is near. New Testament passages throughout the Bible indicate the return of Christ through the signs of the times. Jesus said in Matthew, there'll be wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes, famines. There'll be many deceivers. There'll be many false prophets. There'll be many messiahs that will come in His name. My goodness. And so we're seeing that today, even today. How many David Koreshes have there been? You remember him, David Koresh? The guy who started a cult in Texas? How about the Jones character? That deceived Jim Jones. He deceived what? Many to drink the Kool-Aid. And these folks followed. They were like bad sheep. Lord, Jesus already said there will be false messiahs, false prophets in the last days. Listen, if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, man, It's time to close your Bible. It's time to leave. Can I get amen? It better line up with the Word. It better line up with what God is saying. And so, New Testament passages on the return of Christ center on our responsibility to be morally prepared, spiritually alert, and diligently serving Him. Why? Because He's coming soon. I want to be caught serving Him. When He surprises everyone, I'm here. You know what? I want to be serving Him. Matter of fact, I hope He comes during one of our services where we're worshiping Him. We're praising Him. Then He comes for all of us. Amen? Look what it says in 1 Peter 4:11. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as what? As with the ability which God supplies, that in which all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. If we're going to speak, we need to be the oracles of God, meaning vessels of righteousness, vessels that will speak truth and love and admonish and to lift up and to build up. We are to build people's lives up, especially those who have no knowledge of the Word of God. Can I get amen? James said it best. Look at James 5:8. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. It's at hand. Jesus is coming. He's coming. Look what John wrote on the island of Patmos. Little children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. Let me just say that I'm going to go on record to say this. Many of the political left, many of them, who have embraced Antichrist movements are under that spirit of Antichrist. Can I get amen?
Amen?
Because they're not for Christ, they oppose Christ. And if they oppose Christ, then guess what? They're Antichrist. Jesus, help us. Jesus, help us. And what we saw demonstrated last night, My goodness. When a kid that was fighting for his life at the age of 6 had many surgeries of cancer, and then he was exalted by the highest man on this continent, this United States, the president said, "You are now an agent of the law." And the Secret Service gave him a badge. And his dad lifted him up, and the Secret Service men embraced this little kid who almost lost his life. And the other side of the aisle sat on their hands with evil frowns. They didn't care if this kid lived or didn't. They were there for their own political gain and their own hardness of their heart. Jesus! This is the time we live in. The Antichrist is here. He's here in the midst of us. Go everywhere. In the school, our public schools, the Antichrist is there. You can't bring the Bible in. You can bring every ungodly book. You can bring in the Muslim Bible. You can bring in the Hindu Bible. You can bring in any kind of Bible, but you can't bring in the Holy Bible. Why? Because only Jesus can set you free.
Amen.
All these other false gods, hallelujah, are still stones and statues that cannot speak.
Right.
Jesus. And what we saw last night, we saw at least 120 people sitting on their hands, and they couldn't even applaud a kid who fought for his life. Hey! They will have their day in court, and Jesus will be their judge. And they will not have an attorney with them. They will not have an advocate. They will stand before him and give an account.
They'll say, yeah, but he hasn't changed the price of the AIDS.
Yes. That's right. Yes.
But everything else.
That was their fight. When you lower the AIDS, we'll applaud the kid. Wow. Jesus, help us. Help us, God. Help us, God. So believers must be vigilant, alert, not caught off unaware. Can I get amen? We need to be alert in this day that we live in. Can I get amen? This is not a time to go to sleep. This is the time to be in the Word and then go out, take the Word, and now go use the Word and help somebody come into the house of God and get saved. Can I get amen? Bless your family. Raise them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Remaining too long in a state of spiritual lethargy, where sin is tolerated and good works are not pursued, can lead to a spiritual coma, rendering us unresponsive to God. This is why the church needs to get busy. We need to awaken from our sleep. Can I get amen?
Amen?
Look what Paul wrote to the Ephesian church. He said it best. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Time to wake up.
Hallelujah.
Shake up your brother and sister that only worship God, but they won't serve Him. Wake them up. They'll come to a worship service, but they won't serve God. Jesus, help us, God.
Amen.
Help us, God. And then Paul wrote to the Corinthian church no differently. Because the church in Ephesus needed to wake up. The church in Corinthians needed to be waking up right here. In 1 Corinthians 15:34, awake to righteousness and do not sin. For some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Wow. Man, I'm telling you, I love Paul. How many love Paul?
Oh, yeah.
Man, you know, he was so self-righteous when he was Saul of Tarsus. And he became the righteousness of Christ, filled with the Holy Ghost, now speaking truth and not a lie. So God, this is what I love about God. This is why he chose Paul. Because he saw the tenacity in him. He saw the diligence in him. He saw that I'm going to use that same characteristic for my righteousness.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So we don't know why God chose us, but we know one thing. He looks at the heart of man. And so if he chose you, he saw something that he saw in King David. A heart that would pursue him. After salvation. Can I get amen?
Amen?
Yeah, we were all enemies to the cross. But then when God flipped the switch, he saw already that we would be lovers of the cross.
Hallelujah.
We would be lovers of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We would not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it's the power of God unto salvation. First to the Jew and to us Gentiles.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Each day that passes brings us closer to the time of Christ's return. Can I get amen? He's coming soon. He's coming again. Look at this. But something that Jesus said would happen when you start to follow Christ. Look at this. In Mark 13:13. And you will be hated by all men for my name's sake.
Oh, yeah.
But he who endures. Say that with me.
Yeah.
He who endures. One more time. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. You know what God is saying right here? Don't throw in the towel. I don't care what you're going through. Don't give up. Because God can fix it. God can restore it. We pray tonight. We pray the Holy Ghost down, preacher.
Amen.
That God will restore.
Yes.
God will rebuild.
Yes.
God, hallelujah, will heal.
Amen.
Man, this is the God we serve.
Glory.
And people will hate you because of his name. Say, let them hate you. Hallelujah. I don't want friends like that either.
Amen.
Can I get amen?
Amen.
Keep on hating. Be a hater. There's a whole bunch of haters out there. Let them hate. But we're going to be people that love. Can I get amen?
Amen.
We're going to be people that follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Look what Luke said right up here. Luke 21:28. Now when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads because your redemption draws near. What have we said? We're going to see wars, rumors of wars, false prophets, false messiahs. We're going to see deceivers, those who would want to deceive you. We're going to see, man, I'm telling you, earthquakes in various places. And right now, the world is on its edge. Look at all the wars. Look at the war between Russia and Ukraine. Look at the war between Hamas and Israel. Look at the wars that are about ready to burst open. China fluffed their feathers yesterday because Trump raised the tariffs on them. And we will defend everything. This is what Qin said, or this is the president of China. He said, even if it has to go to war. I'm telling you, we live in the days that Jesus said. You know, who knows? Who knows why God saved Trump? Because the world, a lot of people hate him. Because he's trying to build up America, which has been destroyed. So if the world hates him, that could usher in World War III. I don't know. We've got to pray against that. We got to pray for our country. Can I get amen? I'm still going to pray for him. I'm still going to, you know, honor that whole cabinet because they're the only ones that are driving out the wickedness in our nation by faith. But the devil don't like it. That's okay. But we know how the story ends, don't we? That's right. When Jesus comes, it's going to be total chaos. And then he'll take us out of here. Total chaos. Look at this. This is what he wrote to the Thessalonian church. Look at this. But you, brethren, are not in darkness. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're not in darkness. None of us are in darkness. Why? Because we got the light of the Holy Ghost living in us. Can I get amen?
Amen.
We believe the word. We believe that the Spirit of God shows us all things to come. Look at this. But you, brethren, are not in darkness. So that this day, what day? Capital D. Look at that. The day of the Lord should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. Meaning, we are the righteousness of Christ by faith. We've been set on a hill to let our light shine before the world.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You are all the sons of light and sons of day. We are not of the night no more, saints of God, nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be what?
Sober.
Doesn't mean, you know, let me just say this. People, when they read that last verse right there, sober, they think, oh, don't be intoxicated with alcohol. No, don't be intoxicated of this world system. Because this world system will intoxicate you. It'll get you drunk. Because a lot of things are from the enemy. Look at this. Verse 7. For those who sleep, sleep at night. And those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be what? Sober, put it on the breastplate of faith and love as a helmet of hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath. Turn to your neighbor and say, God did not appoint you to wrath. Look at this. So what did he appoint us for? To obtain salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
That's why he saved us. So that he would be glorified and magnified around the world. that what people thought could be impossible with your life, God said, huh, watch me do what I'm going to do with them. For me, I don't know about you, it's been 36 years. He's kept me that long. So all the naysayers back when I was 30, let them keep saying nay, nay, nay. Well, guess what? Ha, ha, ha. Because it's been 36 years. It's been 36 years that he's kept me. And that's God getting the glory out of your life. Look at this in verse 10. Who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, that we should what? Live together with him. Who? Jesus. Therefore, comfort. Not frighten one another, but comfort one another and edify one another, just as you are also are doing. This is what we do. We preach the gospel. We raise each other up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. We tell everyone you can make it. God can do the miraculous in your life, no matter how tough your trial is. And we come against tough trials. How many of you been through some tough trials? And God's been there the whole time, holding our hand through it. We're going through the fire without being burnt. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Every trial, every tribulation, everything that we go through, he's always there. And he's with us forevermore. Amen. Look what it says in Hebrews 9:28. So Christ was suffered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly, are you eagerly wait? Look at this. Eagerly wait for him who will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation. You know, this is a good question to the church. Are you looking for him to come? Or you're not through with your agenda here on this earth? Is there something you're holding on and saying, no, God, not yet. I'm not done here yet. Or are you looking to say, God, I want you to come. I saw what this world offers. Thank you for the life you've given me. Thank you for this earth. But I want to be with you now, God. I don't want to suffer no more in this body. Because guess what? It's born to die. Your physical body. It's born to die. And then back to the dust. If you think this flesh is going to live forever, think again. Bible's clear. Flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom of God. And so, are we eagerly awaiting for him? Time is running out, so we need to make every minute count for righteous living, saints. Let's move on to verse 12. We got two more verses to expound. Look at this. The night is far spent. This is Paul writing to the Roman church. The night is far spent, the day's at hand. Therefore, let us cast off works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Saints, there's no reason, even in this modern era that we live in, that we should be as the church to refrain from evil things. Yeah, I know technology is not like it was back in this day, and we have easy access to sinful things, but you got to just make up in your mind, I'm not going to view that, I'm not going to listen to that, I'm not going to watch that, I'm going to not even go there. I want to honor God. And when you have a made up mind to honor him, he will bless your life here on this earth. Can I get amen? Amen. He will bless you beyond comprehension. You see, the night refers to the present evil time. The day refers to the time of Christ's return. And so the believers in Paul's day, as well as believers today, saints, are living in the night. The time of darkness characterized by Satan's evil work. And we see his work everywhere, don't we? Because he knows that time is running out. And so he's going to do everything to infiltrate the church. And so unfortunately, there's woke churches now. And they've embraced every ungodly thing that is an abomination to God. They've embraced transgenderism, homosexuality. They don't care if couples are sleeping together. They won't call out that sin no more. You know why? You start calling out sin like that, they'll start putting money in the plate. Oh, come on. I don't care if another dime is collected. I got to speak and bring the truth. Can I get an amen? We don't have time for all that. Look at this. Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, and here's the reason why. Look at this. Whose minds, the God. Notice little g? Notice g? The little g means a foreign God, not the God of God, not the King of Kings. Whose minds, the God of this age, has blinded who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. So people are walking in utterly darkness, and they're blinded to the truth. Until Christ shines his light on their heart, they're going to stay in darkness, even some of those that are in church. You know that church don't save you. I hope you know that. Church is just a place we gather together in the unity of the faith. But Jesus said it best. He says, let them grow together. Don't separate them in the church. Because there's going to be wheat and tares. There's going to be sheep and goats. The angels, when Jesus comes, the angels will separate. And all the righteous will go to the right. And all the phony baloney, I call them phony balonies. The wannabe Christians. The name tag, the name badge Christian. I'm brother so-and-so. They're going to have their day in court. You know what he's going to say to them? Especially if they've never been born again. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. Wow. That's pretty tough, isn't it? Look what Paul wrote to the Ephesian church, in which you once walked according to the course of this world. We were no different from them. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of what? Disobedience. Look at all those who crossed our border illegally. They broke the law. If you come across the land, you broke the law. I don't care if you had the right frame of heart. But if you can't go through the process and wait your turn, do the classes and do all the things and learn about this great country, then you have access to it. So the spirit of disobedience is at work, and they're rounding up. All these gangs, man, from all these other countries, they're rounding them up. How many so blessed to know that they're rounding them up? They're getting that out of here. And so believers must get rid of their evil deeds and clothe themselves with the armor of light. This is why Paul said it best. It's right up here in Ephesians. I love Ephesians chapter 6. Look at this. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His. Whose might? His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles. You know what wiles mean? The trickery of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Wow. Wow. You guys remember when Daniel prayed? You know, his prayer got to heaven right away. The answer came, what? 21 days later. Why? Because there was a battle. The prince of darkness over that region. Like where Iran is. Persia. It talks about the king of Persia. Fought. The answer to come. So this is why, don't, you know what, saints? You pray for something, hold on. God's fighting your battle. Wait upon the Lord. Because he heard the first time, there might be a battle to answer that. Thank you, God. So therefore, take up, look at this. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to what? Withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to what? Stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, which you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. You know, that last one is put on what? The shield of faith. Because it takes faith to believe that whatever's thrown at you, God is knocking it down. Can I get an amen? God is protecting you. God is with you. Hallelujah. You see, this armor, saints of God, represents all the features that make up God's gift of justification by faith. Look what John 12:36 says. Oh, right up here. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is what? The Word of God. So, your Bible, the Bible that's on your lap right there, that's called a sword. It's called the sword. It's the sword of the Spirit. That's your sword. Ooh, hallelujah. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. It just answers it right there. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Being watchful to the end with all perseverance. Supplication for all the saints. Look what John wrote right up here. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become the sons of light. These things Jesus spoke and departed and was hidden from them. Wow. Wow. Hallelujah. So let's move on to verse 13. Look at this. Let us now what? Walk properly as in the day. Not in revelry, not in drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy. You know that word revelry means? Picking fights, brawling with people, slugging it out, beating up your wife, beating up people. That's revelry and drunkenness. There's people, man, that still take it to the head. Not in lewdness and lust. Not in strife and envy. So saints, to put on the armor of light means to be decent and true in everything we do. Walk in honor. Walk in God's grace. Walk in His love. Do your best. Are we going to be perfect? No. But you know what? We make mistakes. Pick up your cross and keep following Him. Can I get an amen? Ask for forgiveness. Ask for cleansing. Say, God, forgive me. And I'm still walking with you. Hallelujah. That's all He's looking for. He's looking for a heart like David. How many times did David fall short? Matter of fact, I want to just remind you all that are here and those who are watching. Friday night, 7 o'clock. We're putting on the first two episodes of The House of David. Whoo, we can't wait. I can't wait to show it to you guys because you guys, they did it right this time. And it's not a B movie. You know what B movies are? Cheaply done. You know, no. Good acting. Good, where they shot it out, you know, where they shot the scenes. It's all realistic. All good. You'll love it. And so, the world is still in darkness, saints. But we are to behave what? Decently. In a way that we stand up to examination. I mean, God should be able to examine us and say, you know what? You're doing your best and I'm with you. Keep on doing your best. You're not perfect. I know you're not perfect. But just do your best. And let me cleanse you and wash you. Let me Let me be your shield and buckler. That's what I want. I want God to be my shield and buckler. You see, wild parties and getting drunk, the adultery, the immoral living, the fighting, the jealousy are just examples of what does not please God. Actions, activities, and attitudes that belong to the darkness have no place with God. Because before we read what was the fruit of the Spirit, didn't we read? What are the fruit? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness, kindness. We get that, right? But look at this. This is how we used to roll. In Galatians 5:19. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are what? Adultery. Adultery is sleeping with someone else's spouse. Fornication is sleeping with one another that's out of marriage. No marriage involved. Uncleanness. Lewdness. I mean, lewd. You ever see people? I've seen some people that are lewd. Lewd. They have no honor in front of you. They'll say F-bombs all day long out of their mouth and don't care whether you believe in Christ or not. They're lewd. Idolatry, sorcery. Sorcery is a type of pharmacia. It'd be drug use. Everyone, when they see that, they think it's Merlin's and the magician hat. No, that's not what that sorcery means. You have to look at that word in the Greek. Hatred. We talked about that, huh? Contentions. You know what contentions are? What up? Shoving someone. What I said was right and you're wrong. You're contending now. Look at this. Outbursts of wrath. Just walking up to someone and cold cocking them. Remember we used to do that? Outbursts of wrath for no reason. Jealousies. Look at this. Outbreath of rest. Selfish ambitions. Dissensions. Meaning, what you believe and what you think divides me. Dissensions. Heresies. Believing lies. Believing fairy tales. Not believing the Word of God. You see, some people can't accept the Word of God and they'll bail. They'll cut and dry. They can't hear truth. When truth is spoken, they run. They get up and go. Look at this. Selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murderers, drunkenness, revelries, and the like of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not what? Take that up with God. So, you ever come across, yeah, man, I'm a believer. I believe in the man upstairs. And bleepity, bleepity, bleep, bleep, bleep comes out of that mouth. But yeah, man, I believe in God. That ain't a believer to us, is it? You know why? Because the Holy Ghost would have already tamed that tongue. And you would want to put that under subjection. It's no longer our MO, is it? When I got saved, that's the first thing that and drugs fled from me, because the darkness was driven out by the power of light, and the Holy Spirit came in and took up residence. And that's why His joy and His glory, it invaded our innermost being. And now we are recipients of His grace. Praise God. Praise God. So we're going to look at the last verse, which is 14. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. Put on the Lord. Those of you who are in the Word, came out to be in the Word, guess what you're doing? You're putting Christ on. When you open your Bible at home, when you do your devotional time, when you're worshiping God, when you're sharing your testimony, you're putting on Christ. and you're not making provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. We just read what the flesh does, huh? It wants to have a Burger King life. It wants to have it its own way. But here's the key. And we'll end with these two scriptures. Because some of us, we'll come into a trial. We may fumble the ball and sin before God. And then the enemy will come. Aha! And you called yourself a believer in Jesus. The devil wants and waits like a praying lion that's in the bushes waiting for its prey. He's waiting for you to slip up so he could run to God. Say, look at them. Look at her. Look at him. That's what the devil wants. He wants to what? He wants to shame you before God. And so here's the key for us. Ephesians 4:23. Look at this. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and what? Holiness. So renew your mind. And how do you renew your mind? Through the washing and reading of the Word of God. By allowing the Spirit of God to dwell richly in you. That's how you combat the devil. But if you put more of the world in you and less of God, guess who is your master? Look at this. In Colossians 3:10. And have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. So, Paul was saying that the time that we live in, it's an onslaught from the enemy. But we have the ammunition now to fight old slew foot. And that's the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit and a wonderful relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. When all that is working in your life, the gates of hell cannot prevail. Can I get an amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace. And we thank you for your tender mercies. Lord, we ask, Lord, that you would strengthen us. Lord, next week we'll be in chapter 14. And thank you, God, that you have taken us through the book of Romans thus far. And so, God, I just pray, Lord, that you would continue to do that mighty work in our heart, that mighty work in our life, and that we would always be mindful to give you all the praise, glory, and honor. And Lord, I'm praying for those who have logged in on Facebook and YouTube. Maybe they've never given their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you stumbled onto our website, and maybe now you're just like God has your ear, your attention. If that's you, I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family here to pray with me, to pray for you, that you would invite the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your life, that God would cause you to be a new creature in Christ, that all things will pass away and all things will become new. If that's you and you want the Lord Jesus Christ, pray this prayer by faith and watch God do the miraculous in your life. Pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise. Come on, is he worthy? Is he worthy?
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.